Here in Psalm 139, David is talking about the greatness of God, if you will, and it's a beautiful chapter, but we're only going to focus on the first four verses together this morning. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word of my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Our title today is Thou Knowest. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that You would use Your word to teach and grow us. I pray, Lord, that we would be listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the work to be done in our hearts. And Lord, that You would be glorified in this time. So guide us now, meet with us, bless the children's church across the way, and we thank You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen. On the one hand, it should be an encouragement to us, but on the other hand, it should also be a reminder when we are tempted to sin that God sees and knows everything. And oftentimes we forget this. The devil's very crafty, and he comes along and says, oh, you know, that God isn't watching, but He always is. And that's kind of the focus of this passage, is that God knows everything. And it starts there in verse 1 by showing us that God knows each of us personally. And this is important that we understand that our God is sovereign. And yes, He knows all 7 billion people on the earth by name. He knows each one. And it's important for us to understand that God isn't a passive God. He doesn't just sit back and just let things happen. God is sovereign over His creation, and He knows you personally. Look down in verse 15, where David says, My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. One of the most beautiful passages that teaches that abortion is wrong is that God knew us as a person even before, it says, before we had our members. Verse 17, How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. God knows each of us personally. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, He said, The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Imagine that. How many that we lose each day and maybe gain? And then there's some of you He doesn't even have to count. But isn't that something? I mean, not only does He know all 7 billion people, He even knows how many hairs are on all 7 billion people's heads. Say, oh, that's too much. No, it's not. It's God. And, you know, here we are in this age of technology. We have computers that could figure all that out and that could keep track of that many data points. So why should we be surprised that the Creator created someone who has the technology to make a computer that can do all that? Of course He can keep track of each one of us. And He knows each one of us. Jeremiah said, Thou, O Lord, knowest me. He knows us personally. And that is our first point this morning, is God knows us. The second thing, verse 2, God knows exactly where we are at all times. Notice He said, Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. You cannot hide from God. And David even said that later on. Look at verse 7. He says, Though I walk in the midst of, 139, Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David is saying there, God knows exactly where we are at all times. You cannot hide from God. He says you can even try to hide in the depths of the sea. You can try to hide in hell. You can't do it. God always knows where we are. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God doesn't have literal eyes, as we know, because God is a spirit. But God is the Bible is explaining that God sees everything and knows exactly where we are. So he knows us personally. Hallelujah. And he knows exactly where we are at all times. But verse 2, he also says, thou understandest my thought afar off. God not only knows where we are, he even knows what we think. That's pretty heavy when you think about it. 7 billion people, he knows our thoughts. But look at Psalm 44:21, and we'll see another statement about this. But God knows what we think. And by the way, the devil knows that God knows. And that's one of the reasons why the devil's always attacking our thought life, trying to get us to think the wrong thoughts. Notice Psalm 44, verse 21. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows even our thoughts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, if you would. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. The counsels of the hearts. God knows you personally. God knows exactly where we are at all times. And God even knows our thoughts. Verse 3 of our passage. He says, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God not only knows us and where we are and what we think, God knows everything that we do. The Bible actually says that even the secret things will be brought into judgment, which should make us that much more thankful for our salvation if you're born again, because you don't have to be judged for your sin. But let's look at a couple verses on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Again, Ecclesiastes, one of those books you always have to be careful to quote. But here at the very end of the book, Solomon wraps it up for us. And says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. But look at verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Every secret thing. Nothing is hid from God. He knows everything that we do. Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And then look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. And so we find that God knows each of us personally. Hallelujah. He knows exactly where we are at all times. He knows our thoughts. And he knows every single thing that we do. Notice Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Nothing is hid from God. Nobody can hide from God. He knows everything about us, where we are, what we think, what we do. And then lastly, verse 4 of our passage. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So he knows us personally. He knows where we are at all times. He knows what we think. He knows what we do, but he also knows what we say. Every single word that we say, God knows. David said, there's not one word, but you don't know it. Look at Matthew 12:36. Jesus talked about this. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Jesus said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Again, should make you that much more thankful for your salvation, that you don't have to give account for sin. But God knows everything. Every little detail of our lives. And we must live our lives accordingly. It should really have two effects on us. First of all, it should make us in awe of God. That He is so omnipotent. I guess that's kind of a oxymoron to say it that way, but He's omnipotent. In other words, He's all powerful. He knows everything. And He knows everything about us. He knows who we are and what we think and where we are and what we do. And even every word that we speak, it should put us in awe of Him. You look down to verse 6 of our passage. David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I love that statement. To know these things about you, God, it's too much. I can't even completely comprehend it, he says there in verse 6. It's too high. And then look down at verse 14. He says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God is beyond my comprehension, but he also says here, everything that God does is marvelous, and that my soul knoweth right well. Knowing these truths about God and us should put us in awe of our God and just make us that much more thankful that we found Him and that He found us. But it also should make us aware that we need to live our lives accordingly. Amen? You know, most of us know Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and so forth. But verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things, it says, are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In other words, God knows and sees everything, and we should live our lives accordingly. And if you're an unsaved person, I don't know how to say this nicely, but it should make you afraid. That's the honest truth. Because the Bible just showed us that those who don't have their sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ through salvation, they're going to give account. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. I can't even imagine what that will be like. And of course, time means nothing in eternity. We often think about, well, how long could that take for billions of people to have to give account for everything they've done? But again, time doesn't mean anything at this judgment. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This is not a judgment of Christians, because we are not dead, we are alive. We have eternal life. These are the dead. These are people that have died without Jesus, and they will be eternally dead. That doesn't mean their bodies. It's talking about separated from God, their soul. And it says the books. Imagine. We already read that every word, every thought, every work, every sin will all be accounted for at this judgment. And that's why I said, if anything, it should make people afraid. You say, you mean we should get saved because we're afraid? Absolutely. It's called being saved for a reason. You're getting saved from something. You're getting saved from the consequences of being a sinner, which is to perish in hell. That's something to be afraid of. And why did Jesus die on the cross? To be an example? No. He died on the cross to save us, to be our substitute, to save us from our sins, to save us from hell. And he described hell more than he described heaven. There's a teaching going around now that hell isn't eternal. It's not according to Scripture. It is eternal. And as horrible as it sounds, it's real. So for Christians, it should just, again, put us in awe of the God that we serve, that He knows every little thing about us, and that we should live our lives accordingly, knowing that you can't hide from God, you can't keep secrets from God. I mean, man's been trying it for 6,000 years now. Adam and Eve tried it, didn't they? First sin, what are the first thing they did? They went and hid from God. Or they tried to hide from God. And man's been doing it ever since. So for Christians, it should just put us in awe of who God is, and we should live our lives accordingly, that God knows everything. But for non-Christians, it should remind them they need Jesus. Amen. They need rescued from their sin. They need rescued from hell. And hallelujah, Jesus paid the price so they could be. And I hope that you wouldn't leave this room knowing that you aren't saved and that you will answer to God someday for every single sin you've ever committed. Makes you wonder how many sins we have committed, doesn't it? You know, if you sin in what you think, if you sin in what you do, if you sin in what you say, if you sin in what you don't do, which, by the way, that's a sin too. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. So if you can sin in all those different areas and ways, how many times a day do we sin? I wouldn't even want to try to count. And then multiply that out times how many years you've been alive. The number gets big really fast. And when Jesus said it is finished, He paid for every one of them. Hallelujah. So get saved. Amen. If you're not saved, get saved from your sins. If you are saved, live your life accordingly. But God knows everything, and God loves you, and God wants you to serve Him and be obedient to His commands. But David said, "Thou knowest." What does God know? Everything. But I'll finish that with that verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I love that. It's just too much. It's too wonderful. It is high, he said. I cannot attain unto it. I can't even get my head around how amazing God is. And that should be our attitude. Thou knowest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful truth, this reminder for us as Christians that we need to live our lives as if you are right beside us, observing and knowing everything, because you are. And may we not listen to the devil when he tries to trick us into hiding our sins from God and behaving in such a way that God doesn't see. And I pray, Lord, if there's any in this room that are not born again, that they'll realize Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus is the Savior. He died to save them from their sins. And I pray today they'd be willing to come to Jesus and be saved, and know that that is taken care of for eternity. So have your will and way in hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.